Today comes to us from the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the end of that whole story that, you know, included, you know, Jesus, you know, not being listened to in his own town, sending out his disciples to go and do things, them stirring up such a fuss that it causes Herod to have a flashback for executing John the Baptist, and then the disciples coming back and telling Jesus about it all, and them trying to find a place to get some rest and not getting any rest, and having to feed all of these people. What happens next? Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their heart were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region, bringing the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now, I know, you know, most of us have these soft spots for various things in music. Music tends to move us. It tends to stir us in various ways. And so I decided on this day that I would refer to some music jokes. I had one from, I got an REO Speedwagon joke for you. I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who... You know, I got a chance a number of years ago to meet REM. It was really cool. I got a picture taken with them. That was me in the corner. In the spotlight. Losing my... Thank you for catching on. You know, here's a bit of trivia for you. You know that losing my religion has absolutely nothing to do with losing faith. Losing my religion is a phrase used in certain cultures in the United States when you just can't take any more. If this keeps going, I'm going to lose my religion. Normally followed by bless. My dad likes to collect Monopoly games. I saw one you don't have. It's a U2 themed one. It's called Bunopoly. Where the streets have no names. And if you think these are bad and you go, okay, Pastor, we got to stop this because it's all modern music and you have no sense of the classics, just remember, even Vivaldi got canceled after only 4 seasons. Now let's see if you know any classical musical history. Music moves us. Music does all kinds of things. And actually, as I was reading this story, and every time I come across that story about the Jesus walking on the water, and or any time the disciples are in the boat and they're losing their mind because it's rocking and rolling, is that song by Midnight Star, "Don't Rock the Boat." Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby, rock the boat. Do you know that, I mean, even though in popular usage, that normally is used by people to tell someone else not to make waves, not to cause trouble, not to stir the pot, not to upset the status quo. That song is actually about a relationship between two people, and they're struggling, and they're rocking the boat, trying to figure out how to make things work. In today's lessons, we're hearing about the disciples, and the boat is rocking. And their reactions is very much tied to the fact that their relationship. And actually, if you look in the First Testament lesson with Elijah, his situation is because he's uncertain of his relationship. He's like, I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, and they want to kill me. And so I'm running for my life. Now, this is the guy who had the face-off with hundreds of prophets of Baal and called down fire from the heavens when they couldn't do anything. He has done countless wonders through God and everything else like that, but now he's running for his life because he's afraid. The disciples, there's this odd line in the Gospel of Mark. You notice that? It's just one of those things that just stuck. It's like, what in the blazes are they talking about? You know, Jesus is walking on the waves. They freak out. He says, chill, dudes. Yes, this is probably the 1980s translation of the scriptures. Chill, dudes, you know, take a chill pill. It is I. It is the dude. The wind, he gets in the boat and the wind ceases. And then it goes, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves. What? Remember that they just before fed 5,000 people with loaves and fishes. And just before that, they did it. Because as they went freaking to Jesus about how are all these people going to eat, you got to send them away. He said, you give them something to eat. Relationships. They were uncertain of what's going on. Who is this guy? Previous trip across the waves, you know, across the lake, the boat was rocking and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And they're freaking out. Don't you care we are dying? What about the guy in the same boat as you are? But he's not freaking out. And then he gets up and yells at the waves, to peace, be still, and they are. And they were utterly astounded. Don't they know? But here's the thing. Knowing and faith are two real different things, folks. They really are. Faith has more to do with trust. Knowing has to do with, knowledge. One has more to do about what will. The other is based on what was. Case in point. My darling bride of almost 30 years, every once in a while, there might be, some of you married people might have something similar like this that goes on. Every once in a while, we have one of those discussions, okay, about something. The topic is really irrelevant. And at some point in that conversation, I'll end up looking at my wife and go, don't you trust me? And normally try to put out the big puppy dog eyes and the pouty lip, and don't you trust me? And she will laugh at me, kind of like some of you are, but you're being too kind not to. And she goes, no, I know you. I know you. I know what you're going to do. And it's a joke between us. But the issue is, when we're having that conversation, we're talking about something that is yet to be. She is basing her comment, and it's all playful and joking, because entirely she knows me. It's based on, past track record. The difficulty between transferring past track record to future events is sometimes we get very uncertain because we don't feel like we're on familiar ground to start with. If you're trying to base your understanding on things and your sense of self and stability, if you feel that things are loosey-goosey, the boat's rocking, the wind is blowing, or whatever, even if you've been there before, this is a new experience. Yeah, you may know, But knowledge takes you backwards. And what you're worried about is what's coming. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop, possibly. You're wondering about, yes, but this time what might? How often do we get stuck in what if? What if is a question of doubt that's founded on knowledge. Yeah, that was then. You ever heard that phrase or ever used it? That was then. This is now. What will be? As you look into the future, and the boat is rocking, and the wind is blowing, and the trees are coming down as of late. Thank you, those who came and cleared that tree out of the courtyard for the academy. Thank you. Things might look less than optimal. Things might be uncertain. And when things start to pile up, yeah, we know the Lord, but do we trust that there actually is a future with hope? And that's where fear creeps in. And that's why more often than not, when we are afraid, we will step in and take certain temptations. When we're uncertain of things, when we're hungry and angry and lonely and tired, when things are seem to be at loose ends and you're not entirely sure what the next day is going to be, think of Jesus in the wilderness. First temptation, food. Second temptation, is security. You won't get hurt. Don't we all want those things? We want to know those things. Our Lord teaches us to pray for daily bread. How much bread do we have stashed in a pantry, so to speak? Third thing, I will give you authority and power over all these things. We want to know. We want to hold control. We want to cling. We want to make sure. And it's amazing what we'll sell in order to get there. The temptation from the devil was, I'll give you power and authority, I'll give you all of these things if you just worship me. And Jesus asked his disciples later the question, what does it profit someone to get the whole world and forfeit their soul? Jesus doesn't say, know me. He says, follow me. He says, trust me. Have faith. Faith is not knowing what the future may hold. Faith is knowing who holds the future and who you're following into it. Faith is about trusting. That the one who came for you, for this world, is faithful and will do what he said he will do. Gather all things. That is what faith is about. But that's so hard when we want to know. When the boat is rocking, when we're uncertain, when things are coming at us, we might go the other way. We might cry out in fear. We might act out of terror. We might respond in ways that are not loving because of the boat we're in that's rocking. And yet here he comes into our boat. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He did not equate equality with God something to hold on to, but took on the form of a human being and was obedient to God even to the point of death on the cross. And he did that for us in our rocking boats, coming to us out of fear, in our fear, coming to us to show us love. And more importantly, showing us that death leads to new life, that nothing beats God's love. That is the gift of grace to you and to the world. May we take a deep breath. May we realize that that is there. And so we had a little fun with the font this morning. For whatever reason, it's been draining real fast. So you got extra water sounds today. So for those of you who had too much coffee, I apologize. But you also got an extra reminder of that water flow. And so I want to draw your attention to those promises God gave you in baptism. I haven't done this in a while. I need to remind you of this. So put your head in your head and repeat after me. These are the promises God gave you in holy baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. So, children of God, immersed, surrounded, bathed, and you're being constantly shaped and transformed by the waters of the font, go in peace and love and serve the Lord. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.